Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning. How are you this morning? It is 6:37 WGN Radio. Steve Dale's Pet World. We're here to help you. We're here to help you with your pets. Our phone number 312-981-7200. You can text. You can call at that number as well. Something I haven't talked about yet. Springfield, Illinois has banned the retail sales of dogs and cats, joining Chicago, Cook County, and about 200 or more than 200 other cities around the United States and Canada. But I have ideas as to why this is so significant for our state and Chicago, and I'll explain in a little bit. You know, today I thought Marathon Day, we ought to do, you've heard of this, and I bet Dr. Byron de Linavar has too, the story of the tortoise and the hare. So I thought we would talk about tortoises and hares. Dr. de Linavar is the president of the, past president, I believe, of the Association of Exotic Mammal Veterinarians. And you know what? You've been a guest on the show. It's been a while, but you've been a guest on the show before. And, you know, I could have predicted years ago, I've known you for a long time, that you would be one of those veterinarians I would be seeing speaking at conferences around the world. It turns out that's exactly what you are. Chicago's very proud of you. You're everywhere, Dr. de Linavar. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very much for that intro.
Well, you know what? It's absolutely true. I'm at veterinary conferences. I'm in the speaker room, and there I see you, and you're talking usually about other things other than dogs and cats, but I know you can answer questions about dogs and cats as well. 312-981-7200, as I said, you can text, you can call. People who do what I do tend to talk about rabbits at Easter time, and that's about it. But rabbits are, in fact, the third most popular pet in America. A lot of people have rabbits. I think, in my opinion, and you'll tell me, there are so many misconceptions as well about rabbits as pets. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I mean, there's pros and cons as far as the misconceptions. I think they make wonderful pets. They're beautiful, cuddly little animals, and they have a great personality. But at the same time, there is a commitment there, just like with any exotic pet especially, because they're going to be living, you know, anywhere from 8 to 14 years. So it's not an impulse buy, especially come around Easter time, as you indicated. So again, they make wonderful pets, so that's the positive thing. Not the negative, but the concern is always, again, it's not an impulse buy because you're going to be making the commitment for a good 18 to 14 years.
You know, I think that people sometimes get, and here's what I'm after. It's about diet, which you'll talk about in a second. I think there are misconceptions about that. A lot of people don't know. But also don't even know, all right, is this really the right pet for your family? For whatever reason, people think rabbits, very small kids, toddlers, go together. And in fact, maybe you disagree, but I think the reverse is actually true.
No, I agree totally. They make wonderful pets for mature children. They aren't very good for young kids because, again, the handling can be kind of precarious. They can injure themselves even just jumping out of the arms, falling to the floor. They can break their own backs. It can be very, very sad, no question. So they make, again, good pets, as I said, as we discussed. But, again, definitely for a more mature child or an older child or certainly for adults as well. So I do encourage people, but again, they need to understand the responsibility of that. As far as diet, as you said, again, yes, indeed, you definitely need to feed them primarily a hay diet. They are herbivores, plant eaters. Hay is really what they need primarily, along with a high-quality, fiber-rich pellet, and then, of course, a good source of water.
But Bugs Bunny ate carrots, Dr. de Linavar.
You are correct. They definitely can have fresh greens, but that should be more of the treat, kind of the top of the food pyramid, if you will, with the foundation being in primarily hay and then the fiber-rich pellets.
You know, actually, I do have a question here. Along those lines, and you can text as well, 312-981-7200, what about manufactured food for rabbits? And I believe the way the question is posed from 630, they're talking about only feeding a manufactured diet. I hope supplementing with some hay. I'm not sure. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent, again, of hay primarily. I mean, the bunnies in the wild do just fine eating grass hay, especially in wintertime. It's not very high quality year-round. When I was at Cornell, I took care of hundreds of bunnies doing nutritional research, again, feeding them primarily hay, high-quality grass hay, and then, again, the fiber-rich pellets. The greens and things like that are good. The commercially produced diets, again, tend to have a lot of other stuff mixed in. Grains like wheat and oats are oftentimes mixed in. Other sweet dehydrated pieces of carrot and things like that. Again, and a lot of that can feed the bad bacteria in the rabbit's GI tract and can lead to GI or gastrointestinal or stomach or intestinal problems.
Another text question I heard, spinach is bad for rabbits? I guess Popeye and rabbits are not the same?
That's true. A little bit of spinach here and there potentially, but spinach can have high concentrations of calcium and also some oxalate crystals, as can some of the other cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and things like that. So again, those should be fed very limited, again, as a treat only or not at all. Again, really, it can be really boring, the diet, in that it's primarily grass hay, but that's really where the rabbits are going to do best.
All right, so I want you to imagine this scenario. You are, okay, I don't know, not you personally necessarily, but somewhere between the age of 42 and 60. Your kids are gone or on their way out. You live maybe in an apartment, so a barking dog isn't a good solution. You're busy, and you may not have time or feel you have time for a dog or to appropriately spend with a dog. Is a rabbit potentially the right pet for you?
It can be. I mean, rabbits are social, so they many times like to be together with other bunnies, and they can bond. Obviously, if you have a male and a female, you need to spay or neuter them so that you don't have multiple bunnies, unless that's your goal. But the single bunny, again, if you have enrichment in its environment, toys and things like that for it to play, and there are rabbit-specific toys, a single rabbit can be an excellent pet for a single person or adults.
Or maybe two rabbits, you know, so they have companionship with one another. But then do they not bond with you?
They may bond better with each other. They don't always bond well with each other. And if they do bond well with each other, then you may not get quite the bond. But usually there's still interaction with the people. There's a lot of interesting behaviors that they do, kind of jumping around. They call it binking and things like that. They're very cute, and they do that many times with each other, but also with the humans as well.
Well, and that's the next question I see via text, actually. I have an 8-year-old rabbit who doesn't seem to be moving so well anymore. Do rabbits get arthritis?
Indeed they do. Unfortunately, we all do, I guess. And 8 is definitely getting into the senior year. And so, yeah, we definitely do see arthritis. It can be brought on because of injury or just developmental and because of age. And an 8-year-old is probably age. And there are, again, some specific rabbit supplements, kind of like in humans, glucosamine and things like that, that come from plant sources that can be used to help these bunnies, and other specific technical non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications that can be provided to help bunnies with discomfort.
And I presume you'd agree, never, ever, ever, ever go to your own medicine chest, take out an aspirin or an ibuprofen or whatever you think might work for not only your bunny, but for that matter, your dog or your cat. Because, in fact, as an example, Tylenol is not a good idea for cats at all. I have no clue about rabbits, but talk to your veterinarian.
You're exactly right. A good blanket statement is never, ever, ever to really reach in your cabinet and giving any of your medications to your pets, and especially bunny buns. And as you said, Tylenol can be fatal for kitty cats, and it doesn't take much.
Did you say bunny buns?
Bunny buns, yes.
I'm not sure we can on the radio. I don't know.
Sorry, yeah, apologize about that.
No, that's okay. It's a quarter to 7 on WGN. I want to talk about the tortoise part of this, which I promised. We'll also talk about other mammal pets. Guinea pigs, hamsters, rats. Yes! Pet rats! Who are all of these assorted pets good for? Maybe you. We'll find out next. 11 minutes before 7 on WGN. Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World. We're talking to Dr. Byron De La Navarre about, well, today's marathon day. So I thought, the tortoise and the hare. We've all heard that story. At least I think so. In talking about bunnies, lots of text. 312-981-7200, or you can call that number as well, from 770, Dr. De La Navarre. Is it hard to litter box train a bunny? Great question.
This is a great question. It's not necessarily difficult. Bunnies, again, go to the bathroom a lot. They produce a lot of kind of hard, spherical, round, dark poops, basically, and they're dry. And those they actually use, they'll go to in the litter box, but they oftentimes will kind of mark their territories to a certain extent by pooping around. Not a lot, but a little. Urine definitely can be trained to use the litter box for the urine, which is a good thing, of course.
A very good thing, I think. And that's in part what makes them such a great pet, at least I think so. I was talking to you off the air about, I didn't know, soggy bottom syndrome. You, the expert that speaks around the world, had not heard that term, but fly strike is what we both figured out is what we're talking about here. Explain what that is.
Well, it happens usually in bunnies that are kept outdoors in hutches, and many times you mentioned earlier that 8-year-old bunny that's getting a little slow and not moving around so much. They don't groom themselves as well as they used to. It can even happen in younger bunnies as well if they have a urinary tract problem or an intestinal tract infection, and the stool or the urine starts to attach itself to their fur. They can't clean themselves up, and that attracts the flies. The flies lay eggs. If the eggs hatch, it's maggots, and then the maggots, unfortunately, start to eat, basically, the rabbit, especially where there are lesions.
Well, good morning, friends. It is the Pet Show.
Yes.
Tortoise! I want to talk about turtles and tortoises. Before we get to the tortoise, the slider turtles, the kind that, remember you used to go to an amusement park or a pet store back in the day, and they had this little plastic thing with a swimming pool in it, and it had a slide as if the little tortoises would ever go down a slide. And it was an interesting setup, but it turns out a really bad one, because then there was disease transmission as a result. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control even said, no more red-eared sliders. That's the kind of turtle that we're talking about. Now I believe they're allowed. It might be state to state. I'm not sure. Explain if these guys are really good pets and what I'm talking about, and if you're concerned also about disease transmission.
Yeah, I mean, we are. The ban was on red-eared sliders that were had a carapace or a shell size that of greater than 4 inches, 3 to 4 inches, and that was the size the CDC determined little kids couldn't fit in their mouth. So they felt that these tiny little red-eared sliders that you said came with a plastic case or cage with a palm tree, et cetera, the little kids would actually kiss them or put them in their mouth if they were smaller than 3 to 4 inches, and so they allowed them to be sold if they were greater than 3 to 4 inches. And there was an issue and a concern specifically, as you mentioned, with disease, specifically even their salmonella.
Mm-hmm.
Reptiles, not only birds, horses, cats, all animals can have salmonella, different subspecies, if you will, or serovars. So the reptiles kind of got a bad rap, because also sometimes it was that where they were being fed raw beef or raw chicken, which actually had itself the salmonella, which then was given to the turtle, which was then given to the person or the human, but the actual source was many times the raw meat that the turtles were being fed.
Our red-eared sliders, if they're kept appropriately, and I would argue the way we just described is not appropriate, but if they are kept appropriately, are they okay to keep as pets? And what kind of tortoises, completely different thing, would you recommend, if any?
Yeah, you know, when you take care of an animal that's an aquatic species, like a red-eared slider, meaning kept in water, at least primarily in water or having water, it gets more complicated than if you have a land tortoise. So I prefer people, if they're going to go for something in the turtle world, to go for a land turtle, like a tortoise or a box turtle. As far as tortoises go, they're Russian tortoises that, can live, 40, 50-plus years, but they don't get that large. They get, maybe 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds in size or in weight, about the size of a cantaloupe, kind of, if you will, cut in half, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a decent-sized tortoise. They are, again, fun turtles or tortoises to have. You keep them in a dry environment, and you provide them water and places for them to bathe, but they don't really need all the water that an aquatic turtle, like a red-eared slider or a painted turtle, would require.
All right, I'm going to put pressure on you now. You only have one choice, a pet rat, a guinea pig, or a hamster. Which one of those and why?
Yeah, again, the small mammals, especially rats, have a bad rap. Here in Chicago and other cities, I'm sure, as well. They all make great pets. And actually, I'm probably more partial, and that's just me, to guinea pigs and rats over gerbils and hamsters, because I can interact more with them. guinea pigs and rats have amazing personalities. The sad thing about rats is that they have a lifespan of only about 3 years. So many times the people are still, and the kids are still very much in love with their rats. They haven't lost any of the zeal for them. And yet they start to have diseases, you know, within a couple of years, unfortunately. So they're both, I think, rats and guinea pigs more favored by me and by a lot of our patients and clients that we see. And they do make great pets that's well cared for.
Excellent. Dr. Dale Navarre, it had been too long since we chatted. I thank you for getting up so early in the morning. And I'll tell you, we're lucky to have you in Chicago. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Steve. We're lucky to have you as well.
Thank you. 5 minutes All before right. 7. Thanks. 5 minutes before 7 on WGN. So Springfield, Illinois just followed Chicago and about 200 other cities around the United States and Canada to say, we ban the sale of dogs and cats at pet stores. Now, why would they say that? It's because, well, we know where these animals are sourced from. No responsible breeder ever sells to a pet store. So what we're doing is we're talking about puppy mills. Now, in Illinois, I don't know that I could rattle off all the cities, but I know Waukegan, Chicago, the entire county of Cook, several other cities as well, and now Springfield have banned the sales of dogs and cats at pet stores. Now, why is this interesting? To me, the state capital, Springfield, and now after the fact, the American Kennel Club and others who are on the other side of this issue and say, we want dogs and cats to be sold at pet stores, which, by the way, to me, indicates that they're celebrating puppy mills because that's where the animals are from. But in any which case, that now they're all upset about Springfield. Now, after the fact, why are they so upset about Springfield? A nice enough, big enough city, but not that large. And it was overwhelmingly, unanimously approved by the city council there, this ban. And they don't have a pet store that sells dogs and cats anyway. Well, I think that they're concerned that Illinois will join Maryland and California and become the third state in the United States to have a statewide ban. That's what I think is coming. That's what I hope is coming anyway. To learn more about what I just spoke about, and that's what's happening not only in Springfield, but the ban on retail sales of dogs and cats around the country, a story on my blog, and that is stevedale.tv. You know, Animal Care and Control, that's our municipal facility. Well, there's that, and then there's the nonprofit, Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. Their big benefit is coming up. And also, how are we doing? How is Chicago doing? Everyone talks about no kill, right? Are we moving in that direction? Or maybe, surprise, we are there